With people throughout the world taking to the streets in Hong Kong, Chile, Catalonia, Iran, and Lebanon, where the prime minister announced today he will resign after 2 weeks of protests there, it's safe to say that 2019 is shaping up to be the year of the protester. Joining us on Skype for more about these worldwide protests and what they mean is senior scholar at the Stone Center for Socioeconomic Inequality at CUNY, Branko Milanović.
Thank you very much. Nice to be there.
Now, the root causes of the civil unrest happening in places like I mentioned, Hong Kong, Lebanon, Catalonia, and Chile are very different, but there are some similarities. It really brings to mind for me the 1968 sense of global upheaval.
You know, if you go back to 1968, and actually I was then just out, I remember that because I was just out of elementary school, but I remember that period. Of course, the information traveled much more slowly than today. But the information did travel, you know, all of Europe, essentially, including Eastern Europe, for example, the strikes and civic movements in Poland and Yugoslavia happened in 1968 at the same time as in France. And obviously in the U.S. it actually happened in 1968. So I think that the information did travel and there were some commonalities. It was really a movement led, as we all remember from the pictures, even by young people then. And that's it was really a movement that left really deep, I think, deep imprint on social landscape afterwards. It did not maybe make many political changes, but really socially, I think it was a very important movement. But nowadays, of course, the information travels much more fast. And of course, we know much better what other people are doing. I mean, practically in real time, if you look what happened in Chile or Hong Kong, and look at a small example. In Barcelona, they imitated actually what Hong Kong did by closing off the railroad station and the airport. So clearly that was an effect sort of which was driven by social media, by the knowledge of what is happening elsewhere.
Some of the reasons that we're seeing these civil unrests, really, they are very different. There are different things happening in those regions. But let's use Chile as an example. Protests there have been nonstop. There have been more than a dozen people shot and killed. We actually had a conversation with someone covering the region last week who talked about the anger people felt over the increase in metro fares there. But there's a lot more there. What's driving people to the streets?
Obviously, the original trigger in Chile was the increase in the fare. But, you know, it's like in Hong Kong, the original trigger in Hong Kong was an extradition bill, which actually really was targeting sort of heinous, horrible crimes, nothing to do with political issues. But this is the tip of the iceberg. Once you have something which basically is a trigger, then of course other things, if people are unhappy generally with something, then these other things come up. And I think that actually people get emboldened, I think both in the case of Chile and in case of Hong Kong, by seeing how many other people feel like they do. And I think that essentially it's a kind of a snowball effect that people take to the streets. But to go back simply to the case of Chile, because I didn't answer, I think in the case of Chile, I think it is clear that underneath the protest, that the reason for protest is really extremely high inequality in income and even greater inequality in wealth. And the fact that the, you know, poor people are just basically excluded from quite remarkable income growth that has occurred in Chile over the last 40 years. So I think in that case, I think the reason for the protest is relatively clear.
We're talking about a lot of violence in these cases. As I said, Chile, there have been more than a dozen people killed. What can we expect as people continue to take to the streets? You know, this type of action can only go on for so long.
That's true. And of course, the reason why Chile, I think, was so shocking is because Chile is first a democratic country, secondly, a rich country. And you don't expect when you have protests in democratic and rich countries that the first thing that is done is the bringing out the army in the streets and they start shooting with live ammunition. That's really totally unexpected. Of course, on the other hand, you had, I think, almost 100 people who were killed in Iraq. But we might have, unfortunately, gotten used to extremely high level of violence in Iraq. So that goes a little bit unnoticed or is just simply mentioned in the news. But I think that was, of course, not all dead are equal, unfortunately. You know, we treat some people who are victims differently from the others.
Is there a through line, a commonality that we're seeing with all of these protests that are happening around the world? And what does that tell us?
I would say that a common line is the feeling of sort of being forgotten, left aside, and not really participating in the social and political life of a country to the extent that, you know, people would like to be consulted or actually obviously have their incomes increase and so on. So I think that there is a sort of a feeling of maybe, how should I say, exclusion, or maybe also the feeling that the elites are treating them in a contemptuous manner that people really react against.
That's Branko Milanović. He is at the Stone Center on Socioeconomic Inequality at CUNY. Thank you so much for this conversation, Branko.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.